Dear family, dear friends, and all who are here present, and who may listen along solemn hour in which we may come together for the funeral of a dear mother, grandmother, great-grandmother, and great-great-grandmother, we'll open this service with the singing Psalter 107, stanzas 1 and 2. My end, Lord, make me known, my days, how soon they fill, and to my thoughtful spirit show how weak I am and frail. Psalter 107, stanza 1 and 2. Word we would like to read, you can find in the book of the Psalms, Psalm 6. Psalm 6. To the chief musician, the Kinov, upon Shemeneth, a psalm of David. O Lord, rebuke me not in thine anger, neither chasten me in thy hot displeasure. Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am weak. O Lord, heal me, for my bones are vexed. My soul is sore vexed, but thou, O Lord, how long? Return, O Lord, deliver my soul. O save me for thy mercy's sake. For in death there is no remembrance of thee. In the grave who shall give thee thanks? I am weary with my groanings. All the night make I my bed to swim. I water my couch with my tears. Mine eye is consumed because of grief. It waxeth old because of all mine enemies. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. For the Lord hath heard the voice of my weeping. The Lord hath heard my supplications. The Lord will receive my prayer. Let all mine enemies be ashamed and sore vexed. Let them return and be ashamed suddenly. Thus far the reading of God's word. Let us try to seek the Lord's countenance in prayer. O Almighty and Eternal Lord, God of the heavens and of the earth, it is in this afternoon, in a solemn hour, that we have come together with this family, with the friends, with the congregation, to fulfill a solemn task, what is laid upon us, to bury a dear mother, grandmother, great grandmother, and thou knowest what lives in the heart of the children. Oh, then they have seen it coming. Oh, for a few weeks, for a few days, then they saw the time is coming close. And so the hour of death came on Monday, and now they will miss their mother. Oh, then the last years were not the easiest years, because they lost their mother already before they lost her in reality. But Lord, they still could visit her. They still could talk to her. But now also that is gone. And in this afternoon, we have that solemn task to entrust the mortal remains in the bosom of the earth. And Lord, will thou give us a deep impression of it, what it is to die, what it is to meet thee. Lord, will thou bind that upon our hearts, but also for this family, that we may lay them all before thee. Will thou comfort them from on high? Will thou give them what they need, the strength, the courage, but that they also may learn not only to miss their mother, but that they may learn to miss thee. And Lord, will thou then give that this hour also may be used to that end, that we begin to miss thee, and that we cannot miss thee any longer. Lord, will thou work among the children, will thou work among the grandchildren and the great-grandchildren, or will thou plant forth thy name also in their hearts and life? Or then we have heard it out of the mouth of the family, how thou hast worked in former generations, or then thou hast had thy people among them. But Lord, will thou also plant forth thy name also in this generation? Will thou give unto each one of the children what they need, or they have heard it from their youth on, what is so necessary to die with comfort? And Lord, that they would not forget it, but that it may be bound upon their hearts, and that they may seek also that comfort. We may lay the grandchildren before thee. They often have visited grandmother, but that is now past. They will never do that anymore. The thoughts will go back to the time that they could visit when they were in their own home, together with grandfather, but Lord, that is all past now. And so we are now coming more and more to that front line. When will it be our turn? And now it is also true that thou not go by age to call up to appear before thy throne, because 94 is a high age. But we have also buried little children. And then, O Lord, then we must be prepared. O will thou bind that upon our hearts? O give them what is needed to each one among us. And we think also of the friends who also are present here, the congregation. So from other places, will thou be with them. Our thoughts also go out to Bethesda care home, where she had a place for many years. And now you think especially also on the manager, on the staff of Bethesda, will thou give to them also what they need when they see also residents falling away, or will thou sanctify that all for them too? We also think of the other residents in Bethesda. They also listen along, Lord, will thou give to them so what they need also in this hour? And give them also to think seriously about their own life. Lord, will thou bind that upon their hearts? Will thou remember so also those who cannot be present with us? Thou knowest where they are, who they are. Perhaps some listening along from far. Will thou bless it also for them? And give in this hour what is needed also for thy servant, that he may lay thy words in the midst of this family for a moment, and that thou wilt make it well, and wilt thou use also thy word to that end, to the conversion of sinners. And could it be also a word of comfort, a word of instruction, a word for this one or that one, to the honor and to the glory of thy most holy name, and for the salvation of sinners. We ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen. Dear family, children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, family, and in the maybe listen along, so friends, so in the congregation, the solemn hour in which we come together around God's word to hear what God has to say unto us. God has spoken already the early hours of this week, when we stood at the bedside of your dear mother. A solemn moment that is, when you see the end is coming. It was for a long time already that you saw it coming. A family, when you think also of the end of last year, did not go so well and could still come a little bit better, had a little bit hope. But then in the early weeks of this year, you saw declining, and so the end was coming. And when the end comes, it is still, then it becomes so definite, then it becomes reality. And perhaps, dear children, dear grandchildren, it is not reality yet. Yeah, you have seen it, but you have to experience too. And also in the months, in the weeks, the Lord gives it what lies before us, that you more and more will have to experience that. It is that empty place. That way to Bethesda will not be made anymore, not to visit your mother. And that gives an empty place, gives an empty place in your heart, gives an empty place in the family. It's more than 13 years ago that your dear father passed away. It's a long time already, and for a long time your mother has been a widow. And all that time she lived here in Bethesda, independent home first, later moved in into Bethesda. She was well known in that sense in Bethesda. Now we think also of the staff, the Bethesda care home, when you have cared also for Mother Niels. And now that task has also come to an end. Think also of the residents whom you were together. So if Mother Niels, and also that has come to an end. And so we see what life is. life, sometimes it's said, a rolling stream that bears all his sons away. And also our time will come, you and me, it's the reality, and that we have also to lay that before you. Also in this hour, death, what is that? How did death come into this world? I think we all know that. We have grown up with that. We have heard that from our youth on. Death is a result of sin. Because of that sin in paradise. Because we have eaten from that tree of knowledge, good and evil. And the Lord has said, in the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And we have eaten, and we will die. 94 years old. You say that's a high age. What can we say? We say that nowadays. 90 years old. 94 years old. That we may not complain. Still, what is 94 years compared to a great eternity? My life is like a span. We have sung that together. And perhaps children, grandchildren, in our midst, you say, Oma, great Oma, was 94 years old. And that is still so far away for me. But do you know if you will become 94 years old? We do not know, because our life is so uncertain. And what will that be? Having known the way and not walked in the way. Therefore, in this hour, we must also lay God's word in your midst. And I would like to do that from the psalm which we read together, from Psalm 6. Would like to consider with you the fifth verse. For in death there is no remembrance of thee. In the grave who shall give thee thanks? Here in this psalm we see a cry for help, a cry of David. And dear family, you will remember this psalm. When we were in the early morning of Monday, also with you, when we stood by the deathbed of your mother, now we have read this psalm together. You will remember that. Now we have spoken a few words also about this psalm. What did David do? Or in the need of his life, he cried for grace. He cried for mercy. And now we have said to you, what do we find throughout God's words? What do we find from the first pages on till the last pages too? What was the hope of God's people? That was only grace. Only grace. And so in this psalm we find that too. David is hoping for the grace of God, only grace. And when I drove away on Monday morning, this psalm remains with me. And so in this week, when I was thinking, what must I now lay in the midst of this family? What word must I now speak? Then it is my desire also to go for a few moments through this psalm with you. Psalm 6, what psalm is that? The first psalm in this book of the Psalms, what is called also a penitential psalm. So a psalm wherein David laments about what? About missing something in his kingdom. Because missing something in his house or in his family circumstances. No, what is it in these psalms? It is because of a missing of God and a feeling of that guilt and the anger and the, oh, what do we read? So in that first verse where he says, O Lord, rebuke me not in thine anger, neither chasten me in thy hot displeasure. So what did he do, feel? He felt the anger of the Lord resting upon us. He felt the hot displeasure of God resting upon him. You say, but is that not really necessary for David? Because David was the man after God's heart. David was a man who knew what grace was. David was a man who was not a stranger of grace. And must he now be afraid for the Lord? Must he now be afraid for the anger and for that hot displeasure? We see it in this psalm. He is. Although we see so also the saints in the Old Testament and also the saints in the New Testament. When they felt also that breach what there was between them, that between their soul and their God, there was a breach. And they could not. They could not breach that. They could not. They felt, if the Lord would do with me according what I deserve, if the Lord would do with me what I have done, my sin, my iniquity, if the Lord would handle according to that, then the Lord has to cast me away forever and ever. And that was the need in his life. Lord, rebuke me not in thine anger, neither chasten me in thy hot displeasure. He says it twice, almost the same. So that means also, it was a need for him. It was a felt need. And so he goes further. What was he now looking for? What was he hoping for? Now we see, he was hoping for mercy. Because only he said so in the first following verse. He says, have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am weak. O Lord, heal me, for my bones are vexed. So it seems he was sick, or he was very distressed. He was very troubled. His conscience was troubled. And what did he go to? Did it drive him away from God? No. It drove him to God. So it brought him at the footstool of the Lord. Oh, then he began to plead for mercy. So he says, oh, I have deserved that the Lord would cast me away. But Lord, in thy hot displeasure, deal then gentle with me. Wilt thou then deal with me? Also, wilt thou then moderate also thy hot displeasure? Wilt thou have mercy upon me? O, in thy faithfulness, remember me. Oh, I had nothing where he could plead upon. Not nothing of himself. But what did he plead upon? He began to plead upon mercy, free and sovereign grace. And that is now what you and what I need. Dear family, have you ever cried for that grace? Have you ever also in, or when a sin is felt, when your sin is felt, and that burden of sin, the anger of the Lord, that has driven you out to the throne of grace? Or do you say, I think it will not be that bad if I live my life good, if I live, keep my path straight, if I do not do strange things in my life, then probably the Lord will be merciful of me. Do you think so? Or what is now so necessary for you, for me? That is that free and sovereign grace. That is he now asking for. He says, have mercy upon me. Because why is it that the Lord can have mercy? Why is it that the Lord can look upon David? Why is that? because that anger, because that hot displeasure that had rested upon the Lord Jesus Christ. When we now go to Golgotha, when we go to Gabbatha, or when we go to Gethsemane, or when we see Christ's sufferings, dear family, or when we see that David was he asking for mercy, he was asking for Lord, or will thou not deal with me according I have deserved? But then Christ, he has borne that full wrath of God. He has suffered and he has paid the price. And with that he merited that eternal life for his children. And that he also is able to apply that to the hearts and in the life of his children. Dear family, that is now so necessary. Yesterday, when we were with you for a few moments, then we have spoken of that, of the former generations. And children, grandchildren, perhaps you know that too. Then we have heard that also out of the mouth of the family members, how the Lord has worked that grace in the heart of your grandmother. Children, you know that. How the Lord has given that, also that special, when she had to go, wanted to go, desired to go to the Lord's table, and how the Lord has made it so well for her. Others, also in the family, how the Lord has worked that grace in the heart. And how is it now today, dear family? Now we are the next generation. Easter also. Can you say that the Lord has planted forth his name from generation to generation, and that it is also found in your heart and life? Grandchildren, do you know of it? Do you ask for it? Have it brought you upon your knees, great-grandchildren? Or then it's also so necessary, and the Lord is still the same. Or that he may also work then mightily in your heart and life. Or David has cried it out here in this psalm. Or when we see here how he says, Lord, I am weak. Lord, heal me. Will thou heal me? It was according to his body. Believe so. When he was sick, then, Lord, heal my body. Yes. But was it not a deeper need? Was it not also a soul need? So that his soul needed to be healed, or that he was looking to on high. Lord, thou knowest what lives in my heart. Thou knowest also the wound in my heart. Thou knowest, heal me then. It is that inward pain, not only the outward circumstances, but it was also the inward pain. I may believe, so your mother has laid that before you, that he also is set before you. It's so necessary to be healed. We need that wonder of free and sovereign grace. We read it also in other psalms where the Lord, or where the psalmist also cried for healing of the soul. He says in Psalm 41, Lord, be merciful unto me. Heal my soul. Why? For I have sinned against thee. And where must we then go with those wounds, that wounds in the soul? We must return to the Lord himself. Does not Hosea says it in his book, when he says, come then, and let us return unto the Lord, for he hath torn, and he will heal us. He hath smitten, and he will bind us up, so it must come from him. David, in his need, he came at the right place. He came at the feet of him who bore the wrath of God, have tried to lay before you. Because then we read so in Isaiah 53, it is written, but he was wounded for our transgression. transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. So in his wounds, does not Guido de Bray says that in the Belgian Confessions, in his wounds lies all matter of consolation. There we must be, dear family, in those wounds. And then the question may come to you, to me, did it ever take place also in your life? That crying for the Lord, that you have ever felt also that anger of the Lord, that displeasure of the Lord, because otherwise we go on as if no eternity is approaching. But here this psalmist, only one way was left. And what was that way? That was crying for mercy. So he begins to seek for help. What do we then read? So in God's word, he says in verse 4, "Return, O Lord, deliver my soul, O save me for thy mercy's sake." And then it comes, "For in death there is no remembrance of thee, and in the grave who shall give thee thanks?" Oh, in an outward sense, so true. Because the time comes that the soul departs from the body. A solemn moment is that. Then our voices will not be heard anymore. Then comes a time also that that body, the mortal remains, must be placed and trusted in the bosom of the earth. And then that love towards God will not be given from that body anymore, because it has become silent. And that is what David also points to. He says, "Lord, in my sickness, if I must die, then I can not give thee the honor anymore. Then I cannot glorify thee anymore. Then it is as though it is finished with me." So it comes, the honor of God was bind upon the heart of David. I may ask you a question. Has that honor of God also ever been bound upon your heart, dear family and dear congregation? Has the Lord also bind that honor upon your heart that you say, "Oh, I'm not seeking in the first place for heaven. I'm not seeking to avoid hell in the first place. But what I seek for, that is, that the honor of God may be glorified in my life and through my life." Has so that honor ever been bound upon your heart? It's more what we can see here. Is it not also a picture what lies here in the grave, in the death? Who can praise thee? When we are in our natural state, and what is that, children? You know that you grow up with that. But in our natural state, that is our state in Adam. So when we still that old Adam, we will never praise the Lord. Because that is that state of death. That's such a serious matter. And in that state of death, we cannot and we will not praise the Lord. What is now so necessary for you, for me, that we are raised from that state of death. And what is that? That is in that hour of regeneration, in that hour of being born again, when the Lord begins that work of grace in the heart of a lost sinner, what does he do then? You know that. When the Lord begins that work of grace in the heart, then he makes from dead alive. That means I could not speak. I could not glorify God in my state of death. But now, because the Lord has given us life in the soul, the Lord has also given me a voice. And I begin, that voice begins to cry to God. But even there in the early hours of regeneration, or in the early hours when the Lord comes in man's life, or then there comes already something, climbs up to the honor and to the glory of God's name, because that honor of God is bound upon the heart. Therefore, it is also so applicable what we read in this text. For in the death there is no remembrance of thee. Oh, in our death state we will not think of God. Or when we think of him, perhaps with terror. But when the Lord begins that work of grace, then we will begin to remember him. And therefore the psalmist says it, and in Proverbs it is also written, children, seek now, remember then thy Creator in the days of thy youth. What is now the best time to seek the Lord? Children, congregation, that is in your early days, that you may seek him in your early days. He is so worthy to be served. He is so worthy also to be honored. And you will never regret it when you have sought him in your early days. Or when you may meet with one who has found him when he was old. Oh, then he says, why did I not seek him earlier? But you will never find one of God's children who will say, I sought him too early. I should have enjoyed more in the world. No, you will never find that. Because the service of God is much more, oh, much more a delight than that the whole world you can give. Perhaps you don't believe it, children. But it is the truth. And ask God's people. Oh, then that service of the Lord is also a service of love. And that was the desire now of David. Oh, that I may serve him. Oh, that I may know him. And that I may make that name great in my life. For in the grave, who shall give thee thanks? No one will do that. And when I will have that life of gratitude, then I need to be alive. Otherwise, it is impossible. Oh, then that life of grace, the Lord still works that. Also in our days, also in 2026, the Lord is still the same. Oh, then seek him while he is still calling. Well, the call still goes forth also in this day. Now you may still sit under that word. Now you may still lift up your voice unto him. Read it so in this psalm. Then he says in the furtherance of this psalm, I am weary with my groanings. All the night make I my bed to swim. I water my couch with my tears. And my eyes is consumed because of grief. It waxeth old because of all mine enemies. Or then he cries out his need before the Lord. But what do we also see in this psalm? And we may not forget that either. Then he comes a time, or then he may feel, now my prayer is now gone on high. As that burnt sacrifice, as that smoke what goes up, that goes up now to the Lord. And the Lord has heard my voice. The Lord has received also my prayer. And what a wonder that is. And he for David, in itself nothing was solved yet. But when he may feel that prayer had gone up, then he receives also faith. Then he receives also that he feels this prayer will be answered, because then he says so in verse 8, for the Lord have heard the voice of my weeping. He have heard it, and the Lord have heard my supplication and will receive my prayer. Oh, dan is dan dat faith may break through. And then he may believe the Lord will make it well for him. The Lord will hear him. The Lord also will deliver him in the outward circumstances, but he will also deliver his soul. And what a precious psalm this is. Do we not hear in this psalm also those three parts: misery, deliverance, and gratitude. And so he may lift up his eyes to the Lord. It's time that we close funeral service. It's a solemn moment. You think of your mother. Your thoughts go back, perhaps even further back. Also think of your father. Oh, now both are gone. Now that parental house has become empty. And as children, you have not a central place to go anymore. But I hope, dear children, that you have the need also that it bind together as a family, but that also make lift up your cry unto the Lord. You think of mother, and perhaps you think also what will now be her eternal state. And also those thoughts will go through your mind. I certainly believe that. Or that we also may lay that in the hands of the Lord. One question may come. I may ask you, did you wrestle at the throne of God with your mother? You say, what do you mean with that? Or was the soul of your mother also dear to you, that you have laid continually your mother before the Lord, your grandmother, your great-grandmother, or that you had said, especially at the end, mother cannot pray anymore for herself, it seems, or that is closed, or that I then may lift up my voice unto the Lord, that you know a little also of this need what David had. Oh, rebuke me then not in thine anger. Rebuke not my mother in thy anger. But have you also thought now of your own soul, dear family? Oh, that it also has looked, and now you see it. You see the reality of life, you say. But now what about me? What about me? What is it? What would it be if it was my turn to appear before the Lord? Or that it also may bring you in a great strait, that you begin to seek for the Lord. I had to think in this week what I just recently read of Reverend L. Block. Some of you perhaps remember him when he was here in Southern Alberta more than 10 years ago. And then when he passed away in the weeks past. And then it was written of him how he gave also what has taken place in his life. He told a little of that. So the death of his father, he says, that was now the beginning point of life in my life, he told. That it was where the Lord has begun. So his father was well-known Reverend M. Block, and there was a man with grace. And when he passed away, he says, then I knew my father, he is happy. And then he began to realize, but I am unhappy. My father, oh, I missed my father, he said, and that was terrible. But I missed God, and that was even more terrible and more painful, he said. And there was that begin. And I hope now, children, grandchildren, and congregation, when you may now go home, that you also may say, Lord, I miss thee. Lord, I cannot miss thee any longer. Lord, will thou work then that grace in my heart? Will thou prepare me for that great eternity? And even this solemn day, that would be a blessed day. Oh, may the Lord give that for the first time or by renewal. Amen. We now pray together. Lord, we have come at the close of this funeral service here in the church. And in a moment we must go to the cemetery. Lord, wilt thou give then what we have considered together here from Psalm 6, that we may take it along, and that thou wilt bind it upon our hearts, and that the missing of mother, that it may be, that will be painful, that will be felt, but that missing of God, that it even be felt more. Lord, remember then the family, the children, the grandchildren, great-grandchildren. And when we must go to the cemetery, wilt thou then be with them, strengthen them, uphold them, and wilt thou give us on the cemetery a word to speak, a given heart to observe, that we also may acknowledge thee, that thou hast given a few words to speak in this hour. Blessed with thy blessings, we ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen. We will now close the service here in the church with the singing of Psalter 444, the stanzas 6 and 7. Lo, as for man his days are like a shadow, like tender grass and flowers of the meadow, whose morning beauty fadeth with the day, and what follows. Psalter 444, the stanzas 6 and 7. Before I turn the service over to Martin Brothers, I have an announcement on behalf of the family. The family would like to invite all the out-of-town guests for refreshment in the church basement after the gravesite service. Now I will turn the service over to Martin Brothers. Dear family, dear children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, all who are here present, it's a solemn hour when we were in God's house to speak a few words to you. Solemn hour here when mortal remains of your dear mother must be entrusted in the bosom of the earth, where it will be till the last day, when also this grave will be opened again. Then the psalmist says in Psalm 89, "Remember how short my time is, wherefore hast thou made all men in vain? What man is he that liveth and shall not see death? Shall he deliver his soul from the hand of the grave?" Selah. What a serious word comes to us by the mouth of this psalmist. He said, "What man is there that liveth?" So he points, as it were, to all of us. He says, you, dear child, little one, older one, those who are in the evening of life, you all, what man is there that shall not die? He says, "Remember then how short my time is." My time is short. You say, "Mom was 94 years old. Still the hour came and she died. And now her place will not be found anymore here upon earth. The place is empty." And so the psalmist, as it were, as if complained to the Lord, he says, "Is a man created in vain? Why is it then that we are created? Why is it then that we have received a place here upon earth? Is it then only to be here for a short time and then to die and to be buried? Is that the reason?" What must be an answer to that, dear family? That was not why God has created you and me. God has created us for his honor, for his glory, that we should praise him. The Westminster Confession so clearly testifies. But we know what has taken place, and I have mentioned that to you in the church. Because of sin, we have not sinned a little bit. We have not become sick, but we have fallen. And we have fallen now in a death state of death. And we will, and the end comes, that we will be buried. And if the Lord, if we not remain as we are, that we will eternally perish. But still, now the word comes still to us. Because then it says so clearly here, "Remember how short my life is." But then he may also look up to the Lord. And then he begins also to ask, "Lord, remember me then." And hope, dear children, that also may live in your heart, that you may go home and say, "Lord, remember me. Remember also my offspring. Remember my children, my grandchildren. Or will thou then work by thy Spirit in their hearts? Will thou plant that life in their hearts? And that they may learn to know thee as the only and true God and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent." Oh, that is so necessary. Now also this casket soon will be lowered. And now we see it when that stone is at the head of this grave. And we see now not only father but also mother is buried. Oh, that it also may drive you out to him. A gift on also work at the throne of grace. One people, there's a people who has a future, and that is God's people. Oh, then they will also be buried, that's true. But then in that last day, that grave, also God's people will be opened. And what shall that be? That grave will be opened. Then they will sing eternally to the glory of God's holy name. As we may see here, the sun shining, and is also the warmth of the sun felt. Why is it that God's people may arise then? That is because of that Son of Righteousness who came in the fullness of the time to deliver his people from the mouth of the grave, or then to bring them to that eternal life and to give them that eternal life. Oh, then children, grandchildren, seek down the Lord. Well, he is yet to be found. Call upon his name. Well, he is still near. Now it is still the time to seek him. Oh, that you then would have no rest until you may rest in him. Now the time comes that also this body will be entrusted to the bosom of the earth. And then you must say, dust thou art, and to dust shalt thou return.
On the behalf of the family, we wish to acknowledge everyone here present with us today as we were called together at the funeral of our dear mother. We think especially of Daniel, the caregivers, and staff of Bethesda Care Home for their professional and tender care they provided for our mother in the past, as well as their compassion and help in the recent days. May the Lord provide for you in this special calling you carry out day by day. We are sincerely grateful for all the loving care given to Mum by our siblings. We think especially about Ann and Carolyn, Ed and Lita, for all that you have faithfully done for Mum in so many ways. Our brothers and their wives from BC as well, your constant concern and support meant so much, as well as the many visits you were always so willing to travel the distance for. At this time, we also wish to remember special friends of Mom here and in the Netherlands. The support and love are very much appreciated. We wish to express our heartfelt thanks to Reverend Clyer for your sympathy and visits with us at this sorrowful time, and for leading the funeral service today. May the Lord remember you and add his blessing to the solemn message given. We think also of Reverend Adams and wish to acknowledge his concerns and prayers for our mother and his visits with her. We would also like to thank the Martin Brothers Funeral Home for providing dignified professional care and service for us as family. The Picture Butte Cemetery Committee is also heartily thanked. May we be given a deep impression of death and eternity as we stand here together. It's our sincere prayer that the Lord will remember each one of us and bless his word to our hearts in the unknown future. Thank you.
We will now close this graveside service with a word of prayer. Lord, we have come at the close of this funeral service and also to the close of this graveside service. And Lord, that we may acknowledge thee for what thou hast given unto us, that we could be together in all rest and peace, that thou hast given help and strength also to the funeral home, Martin Brothers, that everything could be done decently and in order. And then we may lay them also before thee, will thou help them in the labors they may perform. Lord, remember So do children, when they go from here, strengthen and uphold them. May lay the grandchildren before thee, far and near, strengthen them too. Mother is not anymore with us. Oma, grandmother, is not with us. Oh, wilt thou then give that we may begin to cry unto thee, as we have heard in the church? Wilt thou give then that we begin to cry for mercy? Heal my soul. Lord, remember when we go from here. Keep us, spare us, protect us. Wilt thou forgive all what was sinful and amiss? And wilt thou bless thy word with eternal blessings? We ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Family and friends, that concludes the graveside service. Stay here as long as you like. There is no rush. Obviously, some of you that are in travel, there is refreshments down there.